I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that the entrance of your word will bring light, will bring understanding, will bring encouragement. Open our eyes, O God, to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name, we welcome the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our strengthener. The Holy Spirit is our comfort. The Holy Spirit is our encourager. He is our standby. And today, Holy Spirit, we invite you to guide us into the Word, the truth. Open our eyes and teach us new things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. You know, it's a pity if you can't say that about Jesus, you know. You can say that about some guy or some girl, you know, who has now become the center of your joy, you know, to whom you're singing, you're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. And then I don't know what his name is. Oh, you're the center of my, that is so wrong. It should be Jesus. You're the heart of my contentment, hope for all I do. Now everybody say his name. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. Hallelujah. Amen. You know how I miss some live singing, you know, in church. But I believe God will bring back those days.
Amen.
Bring them back.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to be back to singing with some real human beings with real voices in real time. Amen. Right. For now, we're just experts. We're becoming experts at having virtual services and having all these online meetings and so on. It's a training that the Lord is giving us perhaps for some time to come. So let's flow with it. Let's do it. Let's be masters of it. Let's learn how to stay on fire right there in our homes and online. Amen. Right. Now, the Word of God. Let's go to the Word of God. We've been sharing about the determinants from Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, where the scripture says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Time and chance happeneth to them all. Time and chance happeneth to them all. Right? So this scripture has formed the foundation of this teaching on the determinants. And it can be found in this book right here, The Determinants, by Bishop Dagg, who is our pastor. And if you do not have a copy of this book, by all means, go online, go to Amazon and download your copy. And so you can have this book and you can meditate on the contents in your own time. Hallelujah. But we're going through this teaching right now, and we've been talking about strength. Obviously, this verse is showing us an observation that a wise man, Solomon, made. He realized that there were other factors that determined outcomes other than the main ones, the usual ones. And our study is about the usual ones. Now, Solomon said that, generally speaking, races are won by the swift, battles are won by the strong, bread is won by the wise, and riches go to men of understanding. You know, men of understanding. Usually when people discover new things, inventions, people become rich when through their understanding, they invent or create a new thing, you know, like to invent. If you invent an iPhone, for example, the world will continue to reward you for a long time, even after you're dead and gone. The world will continue to say thank you for your iPhone. Do you see? And so men of understanding seem to come into riches, you know, and they come into wealth and blessing. And then favor also to men of skill. Obviously, anybody who does anything with a high level of skill is usually favored, is usually chosen, whether he's a soccer player or a football player or a basketball player. When he seems to be skilled at what he does, people would tend to favor him. People watch him when he's playing. People travel, you know, to where he is. People seek his autograph. You know, people switch channels to where he is. You see, when he is playing, they'll switch channels from other boring people and they will be watching him because he is in the game. So you can see the favor goes with skill and all these things. So Solomon is right. But then he's sharing with us a new revelation that he got that, you know, beyond this, there's also time and chance, you know, that happens to people to determine the outcomes of their lives, right? Now, time and chance are the two elements that we cannot really do anything about. But one time, Jesus said that which of you, by taking thought, can add 2 cubits to your life, you know, that you can't think through a way to extend your life. He says you can't. You can't do it. As for time, our time is controlled by the Lord. And the Lord has just blessed us with the privilege of maybe ordering the daily steps. But as to how long the total thing is going to come to, that is in his hands. Hallelujah. And so time and then chance, which is opportunity. Those are two things that we do not really control. Those are supernatural aspects of our lives, right? And so what we can do is to work on the regular determinants and to work on that and pray and hope that, you know, the supernatural will hit our efforts at some point. And through the supernatural intervention, then there will come a change and there will be a blessing. And sometimes your preparation that you have made in the natural, when it meets the supernatural, you start to fly and God starts to take you higher and higher and higher to heights where you have never been. Amen. So we talked about the first determinant, which was speed. And now we're talking about the second one, which is strength, right? And last week we saw how that strength is a very important thing to have, that you must be strong. Be strong in the faith and be strong in your emotions and be strong as a person. In this life, you're going to need strength. You're going to need to be strong on the inside. It's very, very important, right? Not only strong on the outside, not only, you know, going out to jog or going to the gym, you know, those will build strength on the outside. They will bring strength to your core and bring strength to your arms and bring strength to your legs. Do you see? But having strength in your legs alone cannot deal with the issues of life. Most of the issues of life have nothing to do with your legs, you know, and you can have the strongest legs, but the issues will crush you because you're not strong on the issue, on the inside. You're not strong in your mind. You're not strong in your faith. You're not strong in prayer. You're not strong in the word. These are areas that determine more what happens to a person than how much strength they have in their legs, right? So chapter 5, today we're going to chapter 5 and we're talking about men of strength you can follow. These are examples of strong people that we can follow. Number one is Joseph. Joseph was a man of strength. And we find that in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 22. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 22. All right. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 22. It says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. Right? The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Right? From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Hallelujah. Now, Joseph is an example of a strong person, right? And the Bible says that the archers sorely grieved him and shot at him. People accused Joseph. Joseph was somebody who was accused, right? Beginning in his own home, he had a dream, his brothers, and told it a dream about his brothers, and, you know, he shared the dream with them, and they didn't like it at all. They didn't like his dream, you know, and that began all his problems, you know. Joseph suffered at the hands of his brothers. You know, they accused him of wanting to lord it over them. They accused him of being proud and being someone who wanted to rise up and let all the siblings bow to him, and they wouldn't have that. Based on that, they sold him into slavery. Then Joseph was purchased in slavery by Potiphar. He ended up in Potiphar's house. Then Potiphar's wife also brought an accusation and said that Joseph had come to try to rape her. You know, now these are all very serious allegations with life-threatening consequences, right? He had survived the first one because they threw him into a pit, you know, without caring what was inside the pit. But once when I saw, it was a film where they were showing Joseph in a pit, you know, and they had included a snake or something like that down there inside the pit to make it creepier and water, you know. And I don't know where they got the idea from, but much as the Bible doesn't say that there was a snake in the pit, you can imagine what it would be like to be thrown into a pit, do you see? And Joseph was there, but he survived it and came out. Then Joseph went to Potiphar's house, and he was accused of rape, you see, and ended up in prison. But Joseph survived that too. Joseph survived his life in prison and all these accusations because the Bible says the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. So yes, he went through all those things, but the situations did not crush him. They did not overcome him, you see. Now, in life, you go through many things, but we have to learn how not to allow situations to crush us, how not to come under the weight of our circumstances, maybe the weight of the circumstances of your marriage, the weight of your circumstances of childlessness, the weight of the circumstance of joblessness, you know, and the weight of different things that you cannot easily move away or you cannot easily change. You can't easily alter them. There is no button you can find in your life that you can just press to change any of those things. And yet you hate the situation so much and it's affecting you every day. It is eating at you. It is chewing you up and it is threatening to finish you. Well, the message to you today is that it need not be so. It need not be so. It need not be so. God doesn't allow us to go through things for those things to crush us. If the scripture is true, then what the scripture teaches is that if God has allowed you or has exposed you to something like that, it is because he knows you are able. You are able to overcome it. He knows how much he has given you, how much he has placed in you, and knows that you are able, you in particular, you are well able to overcome this particular situation. Hallelujah. One of the verses that comes to mind is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you. But, you know, read verse 12 first. Read verse 12 first. It says, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Right? That's for verse 12. Verse 12. You know, whoever is sharing the verses should. Good. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Anyone who thinks he's standing should be careful lest you fall. Right. And then he provides you with an understanding, you see, that you must have in order for you not to fall if you are standing. And that understanding is that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Hallelujah. So the Bible is teaching us that two things you must know is that the challenges we face are common to man. That you're not the only one in that situation. You're not the first one in that situation. You're not the only one in that situation at that time. And you will not be the last one in that situation, right? So it is common to man. It's a human problem. It's not exclusively yours. It is a human problem. These are challenges that people face. If you're in difficulty in your marriage, you should know that it is common to man. It is common for married people to have difficulties. It is common to man. That means women don't have marital problems because it's common to man.
Oh, <my God. laughs>
What a shock.
But it is common to man. It's a human thing. You are having that problem because you're married, and everyone who is married potentially has an issue like that. Do you understand? So don't freak out. Don't pull your hair out. Don't run out of the situation. Don't kill yourself. Don't destroy yourself because of the situation. It is common to man. Sometimes we feel that our problems are unique because we haven't spoken to enough mans, you know, the people that are having the problem over here. But if you speak to enough mans, you will find out that the problem you have is common to man. Hallelujah. If you were to be exposed to what goes on in people's lives, you know, you will find out that you are not alone in this situation. So cheer up and brace yourself. Stand up and be strong. The Bible says that it is common to man. Then it says that God is faithful. Look at it. Look at it. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. You get it? So if it is, if you're in it, it means it is your level. You know, if you're in it, it means it is your level. So one of the ways to know your level is to assess your temptations. Because your temptation gives you an idea of your level. God says you have it because it is your level. He will not let you be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation. You see, now this is what people miss, which is that he will with the temptation also make a way to escape. So for every situation that comes or that confronts us, there is a way to escape. That's where your strength is. Your strength is in the recognition of the way to escape. So when you're in difficulty and when you're in a challenge and you're in some situation, what you need to concentrate on is the way to escape. And many times the way to escape is through maybe some counsel from your pastor. The way to escape is some counsel from a brother or sister. The way to escape is probably become more prayerful. The way to escape is to sometimes shut up, stop arguing, just shut up. Do you see what I'm saying? A way to escape, so that you may be able to bear it. So we must become good at recognizing ways to escape. And if we recognize the way to escape, the Bible says we will be able to bear it. We will be able to bear it. That temptation, that situation need not crush you. You know, it need not crush you. Your strength is there, and it will overcome you. Joseph overcame all the things that were against him, right? He overcame the temptations. He overcame the accusations. He overcame the suspicions. He overcame the wrong interpretation to his dream. He overcame all the things that came up against him, you know? And the Bible says that it is because, it says, but his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hand were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. Hallelujah. So receive strength from the mighty God of Jacob. May God strengthen you for any challenge you're facing as we speak, as you sit in service today, as you watch me online, whatever that is besetting you, whatever that is before you, whatever you are fighting and contending with, may God give you strength to overcome it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Number two, person that we can follow is Samson. Samson was a man of strength. He crushed the enemy. May you crush every enemy Amen. In your life in the name of Jesus. You may you become a man of strength. Let enemies be afraid of you. Let the sound of your name bring fear into the heart of your enemy. Amen. Now, Samson was a man who was strong. And in Judges chapter 16 and verse 5, Judges chapter 16 and verse 5, the Bible says, the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. Hallelujah. Now, Samson had a lot of strength, and his enemies were after him. But you notice that what they were after was his great source of strength. They were looking for, where does his great strength lie? What is the source of his strength? What makes something so strong? You know, because everybody has a source of strength, and it is Satan's duty to hunt and to research your source of strength. His aim is to search into your life and to look for what gives you strength. What gives you strength? And then come after that. Bomb that out of your life. So whether it's a person, whether it's a relationship you have with someone that keeps you strong all the time, or it's a membership of a church, attendance at service, perhaps even attendance at the flow service, reading your Bible, Satan's job is to look into what gives you strength. What is the thing that makes you strong? When you're discouraged, what fixes you up? Do you see? What is the thing that puts you back together again when he has disassembled you and torn you apart emotionally and scattered you all over the place mentally and spiritually? You don't feel any strength in you. How do you come back together? How do you come back together? And for some of you, it is by coming to church. For some of you, it is by reading your Bible. For some, it's by listening to a message. You feel encouraged when you listen to messages. You feel encouraged when you attend services. You feel encouraged when you read the word. Then Satan says, oh, okay, all right, now we know what to attack. So let's go after the services. So you see it's time for service and you feel like doing something else. You feel like you want to sleep. You feel like you don't want to go to church today. It's time to read your Bible. And then when you take your Bible is on your iPad. And so as soon as you open the iPad, it says, Trump refuses to concede election. Then it starts to catch your attention. Now you want to know something about Trump instead of the word of God. You don't
preach.
You're being bombed. Your strength is being bombed by something that would take your attention away from the word. So he said, let's check out, let's assess the man and let's see what gives him strength. And sometimes it is people. One time I was speaking to someone who was going to do something, and the person told me, I didn't tell you about it because I knew if I spoke to you, you would change my mind. The person said, I knew if I spoke to you, you would change my mind about it. And I don't want to change my mind about this. I still want to do it. So I wasn't going to speak to you. So you can see that there are some people who sort of represent strength in your life. And sometimes the devil will seek to fight you by fighting those relationships and bringing a separation between you and those people so that the strength that those people supply to your life will not be available. That strength will no longer be available to you, and that is it. Hallelujah. But we all need a supply of strength. And God has surrounded our lives with people, some people who seem to have a bit more strength than they even need for themselves. They seem to have a bit more strength than we do. You know, it's like the truck that brings the fuel to the gas stations. You know, they seem to have a bit more fuel than they need for themselves. So their own tank is full, but then they seem to carry some extra fuel that could help others. And such people God surrounds us with, and we must watch those relationships and not allow Satan to bomb those relationships. We must fight for those relationships. We must ensure that those people remain in our lives and continue to play the role that God has used them to play in our lives, and it will be a blessing to us. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil said, by what means we may prevail against him. We'd like to know by what means we may prevail against him. And we may say that the way to prevail against him is to destroy this relationship, is to let him quarrel with this one. Let him separate himself from this church. Let him not attend that church anymore. You give him some other church. Find him any other church. He seems to just want to go to church. So just send him to any other church. Not a church that has flow prayer meeting Monday night and Thursday night. That's too much. That's too much. Take him to one of these churches that just meets online or does not even meet. Or just show him some preacher online and let him think that just by watching some preacher online, he's in church. That's not how it works. You must belong to something. You know, you must belong to something. The fact that you're watching a preacher online doesn't mean that you belong to him. No, it's not the same. It's like watching a movie and thinking you're one of the actors. That's not how it works. You need to belong properly to a fellowship, a group, a church that knows and is conscious and is aware that you are part of them. And that is how to stay strong for the Lord and for yourself. Can I have an amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right. Number three, Saul and Jonathan were strong. They won wars for Israel. May you win wars for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel 1 and verse 23. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives. And in their death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. They led the people of Israel to wars, and they won wars for God. Hallelujah. And I feel that the times we're entering are times when people will need to stand up and fight for God. We're entering an era of an all-out war on beliefs, the things we believe. And people are no longer ashamed of not having mainstream beliefs. And people are now very open. In spite of possessing very weird beliefs, people are now very open with them they project them, they put them out there, is on social media. And I mean, if you're on Twitter and Instagram and all these places, you run across ideologies and beliefs and things that people now believe and think, and they say them boldly, confidently, as though it's the word of God. Now is the time for you to rise up and be strong in your beliefs also. It's a time to win wars for Jesus Christ. It's a time to put his name out there shamelessly. It is a time to identify with him and be strong and firm in your profession to believe in him. These days, I realize that there are lots of people who don't really know Jesus in the way some of us even passively know him. There are people who genuinely don't think Jesus is anyone important. They think that Jesus is a good guy. Jesus is some prophet or some religious figure or someone that, you know, religious people adore or talk about, but they don't know Jesus as the savior of the world who came to die for their sins. Now, if you happen to know that, then God needs you to stand and be strong in that belief and to put it out there with strength too, to be able to convince the world and to be able to announce to the world. Maybe you may not convince them, but at least you can put out the announcement and to keep putting it out and to keep putting it out and to keep announcing that Jesus is the savior of the world who died for our sins, and that there is salvation in no other name except in his name. Hallelujah. So very important. Saul and Jonathan were strong guys, and we need to emulate them too. Next person is David. David was strong. David was a fighter and a killer of the enemy. Hallelujah. May your enemies perish because of your strength, just like David's enemies. David was a fighter. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 40. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 40. It says, "For thou hast girded me with strength to battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me." Wow, what a verse. It says, "Thou hast girded me with strength to battle." This is a good prayer topic. Get me with strength to battle. And he says, "And them that rose against me, thou hast subdued under me." God will subdue them that rise up against you under you in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Those who rise up against you, God will subdue them under you. God will subdue them under you. God will subdue them under you. Hallelujah. David had that kind of faith. He believed it. He believed that people who rise up against him will be subdued under him by God. By God. That is why you don't need to worry. Sometimes I've seen some of the things people have written against our bishop and so on, and I just say to myself that these people do not know that God means it when he says, "Touch not my anointed." When God says, "Don't touch something that I have put my name on. Just leave that thing to me. Just leave that thing to me. Don't touch it. Don't touch that person. Don't touch that person." God means it. And so as people go about writing things and talking about preachers and men of God, you have to be very, very careful. You know, even if you feel it's your mission, you know, there are some jobs that are risky. And if you think it's your job, then I want you to know that you have one of those very risky jobs. There are jobs that can easily kill you, and that's one of them. Leave them alone. Leave them to the God who called them. He knows how to handle them far better than any of us can do anything with them. Hallelujah. So David said, the Lord will subdue those that rise up against me under me. He will subdue them under me. Hallelujah. David was a strong person. David is the one who asked for an opportunity to take on Goliath. He was there when Goliath was bragging and speaking and asking for anybody to come and try to fight him, you know, and he was appalled by the whole situation. And he went to Saul and said, can you give me a chance to take this man on? I would like to fight him. And Saul said, look, you are just a kid, but this man has been fighting since he was a kid. You know, yes, your whole lifetime is where his experience begins from where you call life. That's his experience. Your lifetime is his resume, is his experience. You find that in 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And if you read verse 33, you know, it says, David said to Saul, 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34 says, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. But if you show us verse 33, you'll see how this came about. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. You see, you are but a youth, but he's been a man of war from his youth. So you can't take on such a battle. It's too much for you. But look at verse 34. David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Wow. That's what the devil does to people who deliver God's people out of his mouth. That's one of the reasons why people attack pastors. They don't know that they are inspired by Satan. They don't know that it is the devil who is inspiring them, because the devil is not happy that through his preaching and teaching, you know, the meat he had caught for his own purposes in his mouth, through his preaching and teaching, he has delivered the meat out of the lion's mouth. So then what does the lion do next? The lion now leaves the sheep and rises up against the shepherd, to fight the shepherd whose teachings and whose instruction and direction have delivered the sheep out of the hand of the lion. So he said, look at it very carefully, verse 35. I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. You see, he smote him, but he was not dead. He just went to smite him. It's like he beat him or hit him and pulled the thing out of his mouth. Then he says he rose up against him. This time he wasn't after the sheep. He was now after the shepherd himself. He said, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Do you see? Then he said, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, the Lord be with thee. Go, the Lord be with thee. You know, we need to learn how to draw encouragement from past victories, how that God has taken us through certain things before. God has given us victory over certain situations before. God has caused us to leap over certain walls, to run through certain troops, to come victoriously through certain situations and stand on those victories to claim and to look forward to the next victory, knowing that we can count on that same God who delivered us to deliver us. Amen. So that is the example of David. And the last one is Uzziah. Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26 and verse 14. It says, Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks to shoot arrows and great stones withal, right? So these are missiles. He invented engines that shoot these things. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong, right? But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense, right? Now, this is an unfortunate, you know, development after he became strong. But two quick things. One of the things I want you to see in that passage is how that he was helped till he was strong. His strength came from assistance. He was helped till he was strong. His strength came from someone helping him. You must not feel too big to call on someone to help you, because your strength may come from the help that you receive. Don't try to go it all by yourself. We all need help. We all need sometimes someone to speak into our lives, someone to encourage us, someone to tell us which way to go, someone to help us find our way, someone to help us continue to hold on. And when your time comes to hold on to someone or to hold on to or lean on someone, you must not feel too big or too shy or too embarrassed to acknowledge your helplessness to another, right? Look at this man. The Bible says he was helped till he was strong. In the end, he was strong, but he was supported. His strength came from the support that he got, and that support kept him strong. That support system kept him strong. Whoever it was, whatever it was, he was helped. But we read, we can see that, look, people invented machines for him. People invented machines for him. People invented missiles and other things, things that will hurl stones and shoot arrows from a certain distance. I mean, and if you think, you know, back then, this would be serious advancement of technology. You know, they invented them because they didn't exist before. But those people created them for him. And through that, he gradually became very strong. Then the second thing is that when you become strong, you must not forget that you were helped. Do not allow your heart to be lifted up when you become strong. Do not allow yourself to become proud because of what you have going for you, because of what is working in your life, because of what you have done successfully or have been able to achieve successfully. You know, what some people do is that once things start to look a certain way for them, once things start to look up and they start to advance and they start to see a couple of victories, then their hearts are lifted up. Their hearts are lifted. A lifted heart is another way of saying that the person becomes proud. He becomes arrogant. You know, it's like, I don't need you anymore. You know, yes, you may have helped me in the past. You may have done something for me in the past, but I don't need you anymore. And because I don't need you anymore, you know, to help with you, you can do what you like. You can go where you want to go. I don't have anything to do with you. After all, I'm through with you. I've used you. I'm where I want to be. And that's up to you. If you are not happy, you can climb the wall, you see. And that's how some people are. And this guy, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up, you see. But look what happened. His heart was lifted up to his destruction, to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Right? His heart was lifted up. So if you were to draw a graph of this guy's life, you get it? It goes up and then down like that, you know? Yes. So he was helped and helped and helped until he became strong. Then when he became strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction and he started to come down, you know? And how did he come down? He came down because he took his pride to the house of the Lord. He took his pride to the house of the Lord. He went into the temple, you know, to burn incense upon the altar of incense. He took his arrogance into the house of God and applied himself to things that were not supposed to be his thing. He was not supposed to, that was not his area, things that were reserved for priests. His arrogance made him step into those things. He went to touch the priest. He didn't think there was anything special about the priest. He said, we'll say it. We'll say, we'll just whatever. And he went and touched the wrong thing. And unfortunately, it led to his downfall and he fell. Isn't that unfortunate? You know, he was helped until he became strong. But when he became strong, he became proud and his pride brought him down. May that not be your story. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. Now, let's go on to the next chapter, chapter 6, how to improve your strength. How to improve your strength. Number one, make God your strength to start with, right? Your strength begins with God. This is so important. Make sure that God is the source of your strength. Not any human being, not any provision by a human being, not any human accomplishment or any human achievement. You may have achieved quite a bit or something significant in your life. God bless you, but make not that your strength. Let your strength be God himself. Psalm 52, and verse 6, Psalm 52 and verse 6. Psalm 52 and verse 6. It says, the righteous also shall see and fear and laugh at him. Next verse. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. It says, this is the man, they are laughing at him. It says, the righteous will see and fear and shall laugh at him, right? Who are they laughing at? This is the man that made not God his strength. So it means that if you're strong, but your source of strength is not the Lord, get ready to be laughed at. Your day of being mocked is just around the corner because you will come down. It says, this is a man that trusted in the abundance of his riches. So he made not God his strength, but trusted, that's the alternative to making God your strength, is to trust in your riches, you know, and to strengthen yourself in your own wickedness. That is so dangerous. Do not make your own achievements, your own accomplishments, your strength. Always look up to God. Don't have too much faith in yourself. Don't have too much faith in your associations, your affiliations. Don't have too much faith in those things. Have faith in God. Be a believer in God. Be a believer in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart. It must be God. It must not be anything human, because this is what it leads to. In the end, you will be put to shame. Your faith in humanity will let you down one day, right? So he says, but I am like an olive. I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever, right? In other words, he says, in contrast to the other person is, he trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Hallelujah. One of the things I love about our church is the expression mercy. 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 Everybody say mercy.
Mercy.
Yeah.
Mercy.
Always cry for mercy, right? Just say mercy. Mercy, 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 mercy. Just call for mercy. In any situation and any circumstance, just call for mercy, mercy. Trust in mercy, not in your own self, right? And when God shows you mercy, he says forever and ever, every day, mercy. Tomorrow, mercy. Next week, mercy. Next year, mercy. Mercy is the one thing that will always be with us forever. Hallelujah, right? So that's number one, make God your strength. Number two, receive counsel from God. Receive counsel from God. We're talking about improving your strength, right? Receive counsel from God. Strengthen yourself in God and not in the world. When you seek to strengthen yourself through Pharaoh, you are seeking to strengthen yourself with the world. The world can never be a source of strength for a believer. Your real protection is from God. God should be your strength. Your strength is from the counsel, the covering, and the source you have. Strengthening yourself in God protects you from shame and confusion. Isaiah chapter 30 and from verse 1. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1. It says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. They take advice, but not of me. They don't listen to my advice. And that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Do you see? They cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. They place themselves under the protective care sometimes of other spirits and other coverings. There are people who cover themselves by going to all sorts of, witch doctors and other spiritualists who claim to cover them. Even some of them, present as Christians. Do you see? Some of them present as Christians. They present like they are pastors or ministers or prophets of some sort. Do you see? But they invoke spirits and other things that we can't go into this morning. Hallelujah. But the Bible says we must be careful that our covering is the covering of the Lord, the Spirit of God, right? And it says that walk to go down into Egypt. Egypt represents the world, the systems of the world. And it says these are people that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. They trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. The trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Do not trust in the world. Do not trust in the world systems. Do not trust in what the world celebrates. Trust in the Lord. Believe in the Lord your God. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. If you have faith in God, it will not matter even who is in power, because your faith is in God. You get it? From time to time, they will be switching. It will be one time, it will be Republican. Another time, it will be Democrats. And you know, but God on top, he is the same. You get it? He never stands for elections. You know, there are no voting issues with him. Nobody can rig elections with God. You know, he doesn't have any of these problems. You understand? So it's better to connect directly to him. Connect your life to him. Connect your existence to him. And let everything else join the rat race. Let everything else keep going round. Let everything else continue in the musical chairs. Let everything else keep swinging around and around and changing, but let God be the same. Let God be the same. And as long as God is the same and you are connected to him, you will be okay. You will be fine, no matter what happens. Hallelujah. So receive counsel from God, because relying on the world is a dangerous thing. He says, woe to the people, rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt, your confusion. That will not be your story in Jesus' name. Amen. Then the last one, strengthen yourself by returning and resting in God. How to improve your strength? You improve your strength by resting in God. Resting in God. Staying quietly in the presence of God, you become much stronger. Isaiah chapter 30, we're already there, so let's just continue. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 15, it says, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, ye shall be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. You know, sometimes you don't have to talk a lot, you know, and rather talking a lot, arguing, explaining so much, making your case over and over again, rather weakens your position. But in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, right? Yes, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. He says, and ye would not, but ye said no, for we will flee upon our horses. Therefore shall ye flee. We will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. You see, 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, and as an ensign on an hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. The Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. All they that wait for the Lord. All they that wait for the Lord are blessed. You will not be disappointed as you look up to God, as you wait for God, as you wait upon the Lord, as you wait for God, you will not be disappointed. God will not let you down. God no go shame us. Yes, God will not disappoint you. God will not disappoint you. God will not disappoint you. So Amen. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. His timing may not be your timing, but wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. The Bible says that his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Have you seen that verse before? Can you bring it up? He says, as high as the heavens are from the earth, so are his ways from our ways, and his thoughts from our thoughts. God's timing may not be your timing, right? Yeah. You see, let's go back a little bit. Go to verse 8, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Yes. Go back, verse 8. Verse 8 is good. Yes. My thoughts are not your thoughts. You get it? They are not your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And your ways are not my ways. He didn't even say they are similar. He didn't say they are a little different. He said, what you are thinking is not what I'm thinking. The way you think it's going to be is not how it's going to be. Hey! We have to trust in the Lord. We have to trust in the Lord. Do not have too much faith in your thoughts. He said that your thoughts are not my thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. So the way you would go about it may not be how God would go about it. It will not be how God will go about it, according to this verse. Then verse 9, he's explaining the difference. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, as the heavens are higher than the earth. Earth is right here, right here. And heavens up and up and up there. The other day they were telling us that the SpaceX capsule was going to travel 200 and something miles up. 200 and something miles up. I mean, when airplanes are flying, they usually measure the distance from the earth in feet. In feet, yeah. 33,000 feet or something like that, you know, because it's just up there. You know how sometimes you can be up there in the sky on the plane and you can see the cars, you know, on the street. You can see the highways and you can see that there are human beings and there's some activity down there. But this capsule just goes up 240 something miles all the way up. It means you can't see it. But I tell you that even there is not heaven. Otherwise, we have to say that the International Space Center is in heaven. But they haven't told us they've seen any angels or anything like that. So you can be sure they are not in heaven. And God says that the difference between your ways and his ways is like the difference between the earth that is right where you are and the heavens. What a gap. What a gap. It's huge, huge, huge. The difference between God's ways and your ways. So, you know, when you don't see a way out, that's not a reason to give up on anything. When you don't see a way forward, that's not a reason to give up. Because the difference between your ways and his ways, the difference between your thoughts and his thoughts, the Bible says it's like the difference between the earth and the heavens. His thoughts are so many times higher than your thoughts, such that when you have exhausted your options, he still has many, many options. You just can't see them. Yeah. You can't see them because they are very high. Yeah, they are very high. So you shouldn't be surprised you can't see them. If you look up and you don't see the International Space Station, don't be surprised. It doesn't mean it's not there. It is there. It's just too high, so you can't see it. But it is there. There is such a thing as an International Space Station, which is actually spinning and going round very fast. And people have gone there, but we can't see the people. But we know they went. They are there. So when you can't see a way, it doesn't mean a way does not exist. It exists. You can't see it because it is God's way. And God's way is that much higher than your way. God's thoughts are that much higher than your thoughts. So when you can't think of a way, when you can't think of how it can be, when you can't think of how it can happen, you're within range. You are not lost. All is not lost at all. It's because you have exhausted the human options, and what remains are the supernatural options. What remains are God's ways and God's thoughts. What remains are God's ways and God's thoughts. You don't see how a miracle can come out of this. That's what God specializes in. That's what makes him God. His ways are higher than your ways. So possibilities still exist. You don't see how. I don't blame you because you're human. Because your thoughts only go up this high. And that is it. Aren't you surprised often when there's a puzzle and you've cracked it and tried and tried and tried and tried and you can't seem to make sense of it? And somebody comes with the answer. And it's always surprising that, oh, it was so simple. It was right there. How come I didn't get it? Yes, because there's a ceiling somewhere. There's a ceiling to your thinking. There's a limit. But with God, many things are possible. Hallelujah. So strong, be strong by returning, resting in the Lord. Let me close with this scripture. Isaiah chapter 40. It's time to close. Isaiah chapter 40, real quick. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 37, Isaiah chapter 40, in the last three verses. Okay. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 27. Okay. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from God? You know, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth. Neither is me. Right? There is no searching of his understanding. Then it says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Amen. So amen. Meditate on this passage, and next time we can talk about it a little bit. But right now, we want to bow our heads in prayer and thank the Lord for his strength. Thank the Lord that there's hope beyond your understanding. Thank the Lord that it doesn't end with what you can see, what you can believe, what you can feel, what you can touch. That it does not end with your loss of hope. That the fact that you have lost hope doesn't mean there's no more hope. The fact that you have given up doesn't mean it's over. The fact that you feel weak and you don't see a way out doesn't mean there is no way out. That's what makes him God. And as you throw yourself upon him, your strength is renewed. That's how you get to have strength. Because you believe in a God who doesn't run out of strength. I want you to pray, everybody, for 5 seconds. Just pray and say, Lord, I am counting on your strength. Everybody just pray and say, Lord, I'm counting on your strength in the name of Jesus. Lord, strengthen me. Strengthen me with faith. Strengthen me from the inside, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Yes, strengthen me, yes. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. Father, we thank you for your word today. We pray, Lord, that we'll walk in the truth of your word in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, we want to receive communion. Just come to the Lord's table. Let's join Bishop Dag as he shares a word of prayer with us and guides us into the communion. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you as we come to your presence, to the holy, holy, holy communion. We bow before your presence and we thank you that you gave us an opportunity to have a communion, an interaction, a participation, an interaction with you through the holy, holy communion. Father, as we partake of this body, may we be healed of every disease by the interaction of the communion. Thank you. Whatever is in our bodies, that is not good. And whatever appetite we have, that is not a good appetite. And whatever we let it go out of us as we partake of the amazing body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ.
Body of Jesus Christ.
Now the blood. Take the wine. Take your wine in your house. Become an expert at church at home. An expert. Father, we have many mistakes. Many. But thank you for this blood through which we are forgiven. We are cleansed. And we have a legal basis for coming to you. No devil can stop us on the way. No man can accuse us on the way. Nobody can dissuade us from coming close to you. Lord, thank you for the blood. And as we lift up this wine, we say we receive of the blood of the Lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. Pour upon us your mighty power as we soak ourselves in the blood of Jesus. May our sins be washed away and remembered no more. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus. Now lift your hands. I have one prayer for you today. Father, may a divine order of favor, a surprise order of favor, come upon your children, from the smallest amongst us to the greatest. What we don't deserve, may we be chosen for it. Where we are disqualified, may we be chosen again. Where we don't belong, may your favor lift us and place us. Where even our parents and those from whom we could have inherited have nothing, even we look after them. I pray that there will be a divine and a surprise order of inheritance for everyone that is part. Let there be a divine surprise order of inheritance and favor for everyone that is part of this amazing blessing. The Lord bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. May his brightness characterize you. May his goodness be with you. May his graciousness be shown to you. May his kindness and mercy surround you. The Lord bless thee and the Lord keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine and reverse all anger and angry clouds that are headed in your direction. Whatever has targeted you from the enemy's camp, boomerangs and returns to sender. Atarama shotahalabaka. An eye for an eye and a hand for a hand. Let the enemy's arrows return 100-fold back to the camp of Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. Let him that loves the Lord and let him that favors the cause of the Lord be blessed. Let them that hate the righteous cause and the cause of your servants and your servants be anathema maranatha. According to your holy word, Damako Sarama Hatala Madabaranda, a champion lifts you up and blesses you in this earth. Even before you step foot in heaven, you shall see the glory of the Lord and his mercies upon your life. Thank you, Father, for this blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
If you're watching us or attending the service with us on Zoom, but you know in your heart that you're not saved. You know that you have not prayed that prayer to expressly commit yourself to the Lord, to give your life to Jesus, to ask him to forgive your sins. You know, you would just be making assumptions that you are a child of God, but you'd be surprised you're not, right? So it's important for you to say this prayer, and I want to give you that opportunity by leading you in that prayer. So everybody join us as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Yes, everybody join me. Say it together. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I acknowledge I'm a sinner.
I acknowledge I'm a sinner.
And know that you died for my sins.
I
I know that you died for my sins.
Only you have the answer to my sin.
Only you have the answer to my sins.
Lord, I come to you.
Lord, I come to you.
I ask for your forgiveness. Let your blood wash me. And let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Say it again. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer.
Amen.
Amen.